Jesus has a very tough saying for us. And the question he has this morning, are you going to eat his flesh? And, you know, as we study this chapter, it's important to remember, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. We're looking back at the cross. These people had neither. And as we'll see, they were stuck in the material world, not the spiritual. But I want to begin by first looking at the first section we've talked about over the last several weeks. You know, the first thing our chapter opens with is the feeding of the 5,000. And this points to Christ's creative ability, right? Jesus was there at creation. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18, says that he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him everything he might be preeminent. So we see that Jesus was the creator. That's what we see by that miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And as we continue down through the chapter, we see the people were blind. They couldn't see that, right? All they saw is, man, he's doing miraculous signs, he's doing miraculous wonders, and he's feeding us like food. And remember the warning Jesus had for the people, right? He loved these people. Even though they were completely blind, he loved them. And he gave them this warning in verses 25 through 27. He said to them, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, where did you come from? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Remember, we're called to not pursue things of this world. You know, when Jesus is speaking here of don't pursue food that perishes, he's saying don't come after the things of this world. Don't come to me just for your needs to be met. Don't make your life better with Jesus. He's like, come to me for me. Because that's what he's saying. He says, you didn't come because you saw these miraculous signs and know that I am from the Father. No, you came because I gave you food. Don't come to me just to get your needs met. It's where your heart is, right? It's not just what you're doing, because they were seeking God. They came there seeking Jesus. But Jesus sees the heart, and he says it's about your heart. Let's look at Matthew 6, 20 to 33. Jesus says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Think about that. We know this verse, we can repeat it. But where is your treasure? What do you pursue? What are you after? What do you desire? Remember, our desires are deceitful. They lie to us. David cried out to God, God, search my heart and know me. Because he understood he couldn't even know his own heart. There's times we do things we don't know why. I've had my wife say, Brad, why'd you do that? And I said, I don't know. I don't even know my own heart. Right? Because if we get into the flesh, like these people are only flesh. All they can see is the physical. And they don't even, they're after Jesus, but for the wrong motives. So just like he says in Matthew, where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be. He continues on in Matthew, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And he's talking about money. The eye, the lamp of the body. He's saying a healthy eye in Jewish tradition is you're generous. Okay? So if you're generous and you're giving freely, but if your eye is bad, you're greedy. And everything is, how much can I get? What can I get? And that's what these people are doing. They came because they got free food, and they wanted more, and they wanted more food. They wanted more what Jesus could do for them. They pursued to make him king, not because they wanted to obey and worship, but because they wanted Rome gone. They wanted to be free of the Roman occupation. See, he sees our hearts. Because Jesus goes on to say in Matthew, no one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You can't be spiritual and carnal. You can't be spiritual and seek Jesus just for the blessings that he gives. He goes on to say, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And not are you not of more value than they? And which by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What would it look like if this crowd would have came there seeking God, seeking righteousness? But instead, they were deceived by their own hearts. That's the scary part. Because what's the key to deception? You can't even see that you're deceived. That's the difficult thing. These people couldn't even see the reality that was right in front of them. And do you remember the crowd's reaction to this? Verses 28 and 29, they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God. Do you believe in him who he has sent? Jared and I were just talking about yesterday. The gospel's simple, but you're blind to it. Jesus says, this crowd's like, what must we do? That's humanity from the beginning of time. What do I have to do to save myself? Look at every other religion besides Christianity. You know why Islam, you know why Muslims, radicals strap bombs in and go in, blow up children and women, innocent people? You know why? Because in Islam, there's two scales. There's good and there's bad. Which have I done more of? You don't know. Think about your own life. I'm thinking that scale's tilted pretty far towards the bad. And they're told the only way to actually guarantee heaven is to die in jihad. That's what they believe. Praise God that our salvation doesn't rest in us and our good works. It rests in Jesus Christ and his finished work. I had a friend this week send me a video clip from YouTube Short or TikTok or something. But it was this verse. It was the passage where Jesus is separating the sheep and the goats. And whenever he looks at the goats are like, but wait, Jesus, we cast out demons in your name. We gave water to the least of these in your name. And he said, be gone from me, I never knew you. My friend said, that verse troubled me for decades. That he was always afraid that maybe he's going to get there and it's not real. But then this guy explained the verse. What's the problem with the verse? Look what we did in your name. It's not about me. It's not what I have done. If I've done the works, they're stubble. Right? All we can go before the cross is Jesus. That's all we have is his righteousness. I know there's cartoons where you're standing at the gate and Peter says, why should I let you in? Obviously, that's a cartoon, but the truth behind it's real. There's only one reason any of us are going to heaven. Jesus. Amen. His righteousness. That's it. It's not because of any works of ourselves. And we still do this today, even in Christianity. There's places in Christianity where there's rules. You got to keep all these rules. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're walking in step with the Spirit, you're probably not going to do most of that. But if you think you're more righteous than your neighbor because you're here this morning, wrong. Wrong answer. I hope you're here this morning to encounter the living God. But your church attendance, I heard somebody sharing their faith the other day, and a guy goes, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. That doesn't mean anything. Wrong answer. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you eat his flesh and drink his blood? You know, we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the reason why, even though the gospel's simple, why there's a struggle. Because in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. Do you get that? The lost are blinded. There's people who believe in Jesus who are blind, who will say they believe in Jesus, but then they're counting their own works. Because what happens if we make it about us even 1%? It steals the glory from Christ, right? Because the law was never meant to save. You know, people will say that like the old covenant was a covenant of works. I argue no. I don't believe it was ever a covenant of works. It always pointed them to the fact we can't keep it all. You're never going to keep all the rules. You ever read the Old Testament? My goodness. Like the different rules, and you got to offer two doves for this and a calf for that and a bull. I don't want to keep those rules. A few years ago, somehow I got into the Jewish roots of the faith and I got on this podcast. They're talking about the law today. It's crazy. Well, if you throw a ball and it bounces off the wall 10 feet, you can't pick it up. I mean, it's lunacy. Who wants to study that? But we have to be careful. We're not doing the same thing. You know, do you believe in Jesus? Why go to church? I read my Bible. I was baptized as a baby. I was baptized 3 times forward. I was baptized 3 times backwards. None of that is relevant. The fact is, do you know him? Do you seek the bread of life? Let's look what Jesus has to say here. How the people responded to the simple gospel and how Jesus responds to them. So they said to him, "What sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but the Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." So let's examine this. What's this bread from heaven? What are we talking about? You know, as we look at this, the Jewish people are saying, "Give us a sign." Well, if you've been following through John with us, how many signs have Jesus given? How many signs has he given that he's the Son of God? We just saw him heal the sick. We saw him feed 5,000 people out of nothing. And they say, "Give us another sign." The one pastor I was reading said, you know, this is the heart of the unbeliever. There's never enough. Give me more, give me more, give me another sign, right? We read of the rich man and Lazarus in heaven, where the rich man's burning in hell, and he looks up and he sees Lazarus, and he goes, "Please send somebody to my brothers." He said, "They have the prophets, and they still don't believe. They're not going to believe even someone back from the dead." Think about that. These people were blind by the spirit of the age. It's only Jesus. It's only the Father drawing us that can open our hearts. Because they're talking about physical manna, right? They're talking back whenever they were led out of Egypt into the desert. And they had nothing to eat, and they grumbled against the Lord. And they even credit Moses with giving them the bread. It must have been in their hearts, because when Jesus responds, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven." So they're trying to compare him to Moses, right? How's this guy stack up to Moses? Jesus is like, Moses did nothing, right? It was the Father. It was God who gave them manna from heaven. It was the Father. And now the Father's giving them the true bread. Because Jesus said, they ate that bread that miraculously appeared from heaven, and they all died. He says, "Now eat me, the true bread, and you'll live forever." What's he mean by calling himself the true bread? You know, Jesus oftentimes does this. He takes the physical and he transitions into the spiritual, and he leaves us all behind in our flesh. Because like we read in Corinthians, only the spirit understands spiritual. And if you don't have the spirit of God, it doesn't make any sense. These people didn't have the Spirit of God. They heard Jesus talking about his bread and his flesh, and they're like, they didn't understand. But what was Jesus talking about? He's the bread of life, right? whenever he was tempted in the desert, right? 40 days, no food. Satan comes and says, Jesus, you're the Son of God? Turn some stones into bread. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What sustained him? The word of God sustains him. Not bread. That's what should sustain us. The word of God. So Jesus is obviously transitioning from the physical to the spiritual. But the people there were dead in their sin and transgressions. All they could hear was materialistically in this natural realm. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. How hard is it to understand what Jesus is saying? Believe in me. Believe in me, and I'll give you life forever. If you believe the Word of God, you're never going to die. This body will fall. My heart will stop. The reality is no one dies. But if you believe in him, you're going to live forever. And what's that eternal life? That's the other key. Eternal life isn't in heaven doing your favorite pastime on the best golf course, hunting trip, whatever. I just cringe when I hear people say that. Because eternity starts today. It's right now. That's what we're doing here. Eternity is knowing Christ, knowing the Father. It's what he says in John chapter 17. Go home and read it. There's your homework. This is eternal life, knowing the Father, knowing the Son. Because what was the greatest tragedy at the fall? Adam and Eve walked with God because they heard him coming in the garden. How did they know to hide? We can infer from the text that they were used to the very God walking with them and communing. That was severed. So now, whenever Jesus made things right on the cross, he reconciled us. So now, today, we can know him more and more and more, and that's going to be eternity. And that shouldn't sound boring. I've had people say, I don't even want to go to heaven, a bunch of chorus songs over and over again. You don't get it. You don't get it, because our minds can't even fathom the joy and the pleasure and the treasures we're going to be digging for all eternity. Because if you truly get the Spirit, you can never get enough of the bread of life. Never. You dig it and dig it and dig it. You can't ever get enough. And I hope your heart burns when you hear the scriptures read. You know, if you're questioning your salvation, dig into the Word. The Word renews your mind. The Word is confirmed by your Holy Spirit. I get passionate just reading the Word. There's Sundays I can stand up here and just read it. Today, I felt almost like I could just ended the chapter and sat down because the Word speaks. The Word's powerful. You know, the one Bible commentary by Pastor Womack, Andrew Womack, says, I like how he put this. This is how I wanted to wrap it up. There is no eternal life apart from Jesus. We have to personally partake of him the same way we eat food to sustain our physical life. In verse 52, these Jews clearly thought Jesus was speaking of cannibalism. Jesus knew what they were thinking, but made no attempt to explain it. Instead, he responded, repeated his previous statement, and even strengthened it by speaking about drinking his blood. Think about that. They didn't get it. He said it plainly, and they didn't understand it, and they started to repulse at it. This guy said, what, eat his flesh? How can we do that? This guy's messed up. And instead of Jesus like trying to like, well, no, you misunderstood me. No, Jesus amps it up. He takes it to another level. He says, you have to drink my blood. And I couldn't help but just turn back to 1 Corinthians 2:14. They didn't get it because they weren't spiritual. They were dead. They had no spirit in them. The things of God can only be discerned by the Spirit. And see, that's the new covenant. When he says, drink my blood, he's talking about the new covenant, right? When we take communion, what's Jesus say after dinner? He takes the cup. This is a new covenant in my blood. That was from the Passover. That's where they recognized the lamb that was slain to bring redemption. He's saying, I am now bringing you redemption in my blood. It's a new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. The old covenant is gone. Jesus is introducing the new covenant in his blood. So not only You need to dig the Word, love the Word, feed on the Word, drink His blood, this new covenant. Get rid of your own works. It's not about what you're doing at all. It's not whether you went to church. It's not whether you helped the old lady cross the street. It's not whether you fed the poor. Have you accepted Christ? Have you believed that He is your righteousness? It's only His righteousness. My good deeds not done in the Spirit are filthy rags, according to Isaiah. It's actually more disturbing in the Hebrew. I'll let you go home and look that up. But our acts are worthless. It's only Christ. Hebrews 9, 11 to 14, it says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest to the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation." He's talking about the Holy of Holies in heaven. See, the one on earth was just a picture of what's in heaven. See, Jesus entered once and for all into the holy places in heaven, not by the means of bloods and goats and calves, but by the means of His own blood. Because remember, the earthly high priest went into the temple here carrying the blood of bulls and goats that they had to keep slaughtering over and over and over again, because that blood could only cover, could not pay. But Jesus, with His own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of defiled persons with ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Amen? Amen. So the question before you this morning, are you living on the bread of life? The Word of God is the bread of life. Let me ask you this morning, if the Lord sustained you this week by the Word of God instead of what you put in your mouth, would you starve? Would you be malnourished? I'm not any better. I sat in the pew for many years. Sunday morning was my meal. How many people ate breakfast this morning and want to try to go till next Sunday morning? But we do it. We do it. And our Savior is so compassionate and so loving. He doesn't condemn us. He's crying out to us right now. He's saying, "Come to me. Come to me." This isn't about condemnation. If you're not digging the Word this week, it's not about condemnation. He's offering you the same gift. I'm the bread of life. Come and eat. Come and eat. And live forever. Because eternity is knowing Him, and we start right now. Because the Word of God never goes away. There's only two things in this building right now that are going to be here in 1,000,000,000,000 years. The Word of God in your soul, right? Your spirit. That's the only thing that goes on forever. That's why I'm standing where I am. Because His Word goes on forever. Will we eat the bread? Will you eat His flesh? Without the Spirit, that is extremely disturbing to hear a man say, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." If I stood up here and said that in my flesh and you were flesh, I hope you'd leave and never come back, because that's hard to hear. But we understand by our spirit, Jesus isn't talking about His physical body. He's not talking about come drink a cup of His literal blood. He's talking about dig His Word, accept the new covenant. That's the other beautiful part about the new covenant. I don't know if you caught it in the song. His Word is now written on our hearts. You don't need me to dig into the Word. You don't have to come to me for interpretation. Can I help? Sure. I go to other guys to help. But you better be eating the bread yourself, because you have His Spirit, the new covenant. He puts His law upon your heart. He'll teach you. His Spirit will open the Word. He'll use other people. Sure. And you can come and feed here, but you don't have to. It's good to hear other people. And I always try to compare myself to other things, so we don't want to get off base. But you can feed yourself. You can eat. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we know we have a real enemy. He's blinded us in many areas. These people came to you with presuppositions about who the Messiah would be. That He'd come and bring them peace, bring them good things. And can I sit at your right hand in your kingdom? It's all about me. Just like the goats you'll cast away. "Well, I did this and I did that, Lord. How can you say you don't know me?" Because it's about you and your righteousness. It's about your Word. It's about the living bread. Father, I just pray that the seeds that were planted here this morning would ignite a fire, that we would devour your word, your living bread. And every time we drink that cup, we'd understand the new covenant in your blood, once and for all, the payment of our sins upon your son, and we get his righteousness. May only to the cross we cling. Nothing do we bring. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name. And all his people said, amen. If you want to stand with me and sing, our closing song is